you got me. You got me. All right. Point well taken.
As I stay at home in Senegal, you know, when you truly want to compliment somebody, just like, man, you look sharp.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. That's
and
enough.
Make them feel like even yesterday.
Yeah, all right.
But anyway, you know, it's a pleasure to be here, Clayton. How are you?
Well, hey, man, you know, as I am wont to say as much as I can, the struggle continues, and it ought to continue.
It ought to continue, and you're brave. I must, I must give you that one.
Lutte continue, and you got it, and we will continue because the struggle is quite necessary. I want to ask you something about the events of yesterday. Now, my understanding is, and of course you clarify it, that you received a telephone call, and it was your impression that you were receiving a phone call.
Yeah.
What, in fact, were you receiving?
Well, actually, I realized that I was on the air live on Democracy Now! When people came in the office and told me, Jabal, I mean, what is he doing on the program, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm on the phone, actually, mind you, when the people waving at me, trying to tell me that I'm on. What is interesting is that yesterday I walked past Fred, and Fred, our receptionist here, go take, I guess, the blunt of some of the, you know, comments and calling, you know, what you call it, calling complaints and so on and so forth. I heard him struggling, and I saw him struggling. He looked at me and said, Jabal, you're going to have to take this one. I looked at him, I said, let me put Fred off the hook. And he said, this is Michael Moore on the phone. You want to take him? I said, okay, Fred, I'll take him. So I went in the office, I took it, and I proceeded to talk to him. As you may actually, if you heard the report made yesterday, you hear that the sound quality wasn't even actually for broadcast in many different ways, because probably it went through so many different channels before it gets to me. So as I'm talking to Michael, and when I finished the conversation, Marjorie and Paul came and told me that, Jabal, you were on the air, live.
Well, one of the other aspects of this you should know is that the tape, however poor the quality was at that time, was subsequently damaged to the point where it could not be played later. And the question, of course, will continue. Who would choose to damage a tape that was, in fact, the property of the news department? So we can wonder about that. The point, Jabal, that I think needs to be made over and over to people who are listening to us is that we have, throughout this struggle, seen this division, a division between people who have chosen to do radio on this air, to do their jobs, to go into places. And I will be very blunt for people inciting. Jabal Fahy went to Africa so that we could be in touch with the events at Durban, when others were saying, well, he doesn't need to go. I mean, an African doesn't need to go to Africa to report. We got white folks here in New York who can cover that event. But my point is this. There have been people at this radio station who said, let's do radio.
Yeah.
Let's do programs.
Yeah.
There are other people who have said, let's stab folks in the back. Let us, incidentally, and I want this to be very clear to the board when we have an opportunity to speak to members of the board. We have had people here who, under the guise of being champions of free speech and of progressive politics, have secretly recorded the conversations of their colleagues, have done this as a regular practice.
Yeah.
And so many of you out there, some of you who are listening to us, who are colleagues of ours at this station, may not even know which of your conversations were recorded.
That is true.
And how those tapes were used.
That is true.
But we do know and could substantiate and can prove conclusively that people at this station who are now proclaiming how important they are to the Pacifica tradition have been wearing wires in order to undermine the effectiveness of people they claim are or were their colleagues.
You know, Clayton, what is more than amazing about the situation? Last weekend, I came across a lynch tab on your head and Utrecht's head.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe it. They literally had a lynch. They have a picture of a lynch lady.
Oh, yeah.
Literally lynched And then they clearly said that basically these two, you and Utris, there's a price on your head, and this and so on and so on and so forth.
And I will say to you that the so-called dissident faction involved in all of this has consistently projected that kind of hatred, that kind of racism, that kind of bigotry. Let me explain also that during the time in a prior life, when I was broadcasting at this station in the morning, I received a total of 76, actually, I remember I got one, 76 letters during the time I was broadcasting in this morning frame, every single one of them denouncing my color and my race in supporting the dissident action, in saying we support this person, we support that person, and this is how we feel about you. Not because, you know, you don't think I'm a good broadcaster, not because you don't think I do my homework or the rest of it, because you are an-dash. Incidentally, it's amazing how silent the dissidents have been about the emails that characterize one of our colleagues here as the N-dash lover. Now, you know where that expression comes from. You know the history of it. Mm. And this has been a common thread of dissident communication during this period. And the truth has got to start to come out. We have, I think, been quite, in my judgment, rather circumspect in dealing with this toward the end of doing programs. Okay? Toward the end of doing programs. We thought we were here because we're supposed to be involved in broadcasting radio.
Yep.
We're joined by, now I don't want to make a connection here with anything I just said.
I love that Steve Martin movie where he thought he was black. Remember that Steve Martin? I thought I was black. Wait a second. Only Italian. Wait a second.
Paul Di Rienzo. But Paul, I want to get the point really, and I think this is where this is, to me, what seals the discussion we're having now that Javel and I have gotten into. There has been a commitment at this radio station to doing radio, to doing the job, to bringing to people alternative views of many things, to bringing to people interpretations of events that simply are not available, and incidentally, not available in an increasing sense. In the other areas of journalism, we know that right now, for example, there is almost a blanket endorsement of the war, so-called, which can hardly be called that, it seems to me, in Afghanistan. So if you want to hear something else about what's going on in Afghanistan, you come here. Well, that's what you're supposed to hear. Now, let me say this again. I would have been very much in favor of broadcasting Democracy Now! At 9 o'clock, if we had had any sense that it was going to be a program that looked at the issues, which, incidentally, in all fairness, has been the substance of that program at times in the past.
But you see the political problem. I mean, the dissident movement faces a tremendous internal contradiction. And, you know, as a political analyst, I can't help but see it so clearly that one of the so-called fired bands suspended, or actually in this case self-fired, self-banned and self-exiled person is coming back without the other supporters, many of whom got their ticket punched, took a fall on the sword, etc., for this movement. And, you know, obviously that is a very difficult problem, especially if you're a guilt-ridden person in the first place.
No, but Paul, you have to understand that in every war, you have the minesweepers and the bomb sniffers.
The guys who dig up the mines after the war.
This is real, because when I looked at the situation, I said to myself, it's one thing to be chosen as a bomb sniffer. It's another thing to choose yourself when you know you're not trained to be one, which means that eventually it's going to blow in your face. You know. But I want you guys to understand one thing. What really disturbed me yesterday about being broadcasted without knowing it is the fact that our so-called interim chair, of the board, the person who actually claims to somehow have the right and basically the mandate to affect programming, suggest programming, and go as far as basically drafting a memo to that tune, basically what the memo that everybody's saying that, yeah, we have gotten it, so we're supposed to play it because we got the memo. This is one of the person involved in inciting me, in talking into a live broadcast, without knowing that this is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And this same person also is basically so much on Amy's side that I think that the whole process needs to be rechecked. The whole process have to be rechecked, literally. Because I want to know how legal is that for her to be in that position and still be in that program, behave in that way, and also involved in exposing me to a certain degree where I could have said something terrible. I could have literally went off.
Yeah.
And what would happen? They say, well, this is Jebel Fai. Mm-hmm. Now the issue is that I want to take it far. I want the people to look into it. Michael Moore, you know, he's an outsider. He doesn't care. I'm pretty sure it was a joke as far as he's concerned. But the people inside should know better, especially Leslie Kagan. I was very, and I'm still very disappointed about the fact that she's behind that.
Okay, well, Jebel, you mentioned Michael Moore, and we may as well put this out too. Michael Moore, big union activist, big union protector, broadcasting from a non-union facility. I mean, you want to talk about hypocrisy. Now, here's the other thing that I think we really need to pursue. This memo came to us as a fax, first of all, and that's questionable right there. This memo ordering, literally, the program to be put back on, signed by one person, although it was said this was the pleasure of the board. Well, why didn't the board sign the memo or sign the fax? The other thing is, there is included in that order the personal pronoun I. Not we, I order you to do this. So we understand very clearly what this brouhaha is all about. And it is about an individual joining with another individual who was heard from this morning, the secretary of the new board, joining to establish here a kind of board and broadcast situation that was the sort they complained against in the first place. Remember what they said about the previous board? It was dictatorial. It was governed by corporate vultures. Well, if we were to use a term, for example, like progressive vultures...